Ezekiel chapter 17. Son of man, put forth a riddle and speak a parable to the house of Israel, and say, Thus says the Lord Yahweh, A great eagle with great wings and long feathers, full of feathers of various colours. Now I suggest that that is Babylon. Maybe because their god Nisroch was an eagle. And the great wings are like his armies, and the various colours are like the various nations that were together with Babylon. So the great eagle comes to Lebanon. Well, I think the reference is to Jerusalem. And because the temple was built of cedars of Lebanon, Lebanon is sometimes a name for that temple. And it took off the top of the cedar. Well, I think that that is talking about how, first of all, Babylon came to Jerusalem and took Jeconiah when he was only 18, and many of the other leaders off into captivity. They were then replaced by Zedekiah, who was set up by the Babylonians as kind of their puppet king. And of course, it was in that captivity that Ezekiel himself had gone into captivity. So he cropped off the highest of its young twigs and carried it to a land of commerce, where he set it in a city of merchants. This is Babylon. He took the seed of the land and planted it in a fruitful soil. He placed it beside many waters and set it up like a willow tree. Well, I think that this is talking about those captives, along with Ezekiel, who had gone into Babylon. And they're being told, you can become fruitful spiritually. It grew and became a spreading vine of low stature, whose branches turned toward him, and its roots were under him. So it became a vine and brought forth branches and young shoots. There was also another great eagle. And I think that this might refer to Egypt, with great wings and many feathers. This vine bent its roots toward him and shot forth its branches toward him from the beds of its plantation, that he might water it. Now I think that it was that this is talking about how God's people, who are like the vine, looked to Egypt for help and not to God. It was planted in a good soil by many waters, that it might bring forth branches, and that it might bear fruit, that it might be a goodly vine. So in other words, it didn't need to do that. It didn't need to bend itself towards Egypt. God had set it up with good soil and water so that it could bring forth fruit. And I'm reminded of the parable of the vineyard in Isaiah chapter 5, where God says that I planted you as a vineyard, and what more could I have done for it? I did everything that it might bring forth good fruit, but it didn't. So God has given us, as he gave those exiles by the rivers of Babylon, he gave them the ideal environment, actually, in which to bring forth spiritual fruit. But of course they complain that, oh no, how can we be spiritual when we haven't got a temple and we're outside the land of Palestine, outside the land of Israel, we're here in Babylon. And we also might think, oh, if only I had a better job, better family situation, if we lived in a better place, in a better country, then I would be more spiritually fruitful. And although, of course, we do have to make wise decisions in all those things, I think it is true that God, in the end, has set us up in a situation whereby we can bring forth spiritual fruit to him. And he wants spiritual fruit from us. And that's why he has given us actually the optimal environment. So as to this vine that isn't really a goodly vine, but keeps bending its roots towards this other great eagle, towards Egypt, thus says the Lord, shall it prosper? Shall he not pull it up by its roots and cut off its fruit that it may wither? Yes, behold, being planted, shall it prosper? Shall it not utterly wither when the east wind touches it? Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Say now to the rebellious people, don't you know what these things mean? Behold, the king of Babylon came to Jerusalem and took its king and its princes and brought them to him to Babylon. He took of the royal family and made a covenant with him. He brought him under an oath and took away the mighty of the land, that their kingdom might be base, that it might not lift itself up, but that by keeping his covenant it might stand. But he rebelled against him in sending his ambassadors to Egypt, that he might give him or horses and many people. This is the vine bending its branches towards the other great eagle. Shall he prosper? Shall he who does such things escape? Shall he break the covenant and yet escape? You know, they'd made a covenant, Zedekiah had made a covenant with Babylon that he'd be loyal to them, but he wasn't. And God saw that. And although it was a covenant and agreement with an unbeliever, a Gentile, Nebuchadnezzar, God still holds him responsible for breaking it. So don't think that in your worldly life you can just get away with what you want and that morals and ethics and honesty don't count. God's watching. As I live, says the Lord, surely in the place where the king dwells who made him king, whose oath he despised, whose covenant he broke, even with him in the midst of Babylon he will die. Neither will Pharaoh of Egypt, that is this second great eagle that the vine grew towards, neither shall Pharaoh with his mighty army help him in the war, when they cast up mounds and build forts. For he has despised the oath by breaking the covenant. He gave his hand, that is, he gave assurance, he shook hands on the deal. And yet he did all these things, he will not escape. As I live, my oath that he has despised and my covenant that he has broken, I will bring it on his own head. Now, just as they'd broken their covenant with Babylon, so they'd broken their covenant with God as well. I will spread my net on him and catch him in a snare and bring him to Babylon. And I will enter into judgment with him there for his sins that he's committed against me. All his fugitives in all his bands will fall by the sword. Those who remain will be scattered toward every wind. And you shall know that I, Yahweh, have spoken it. I will also take of the lofty top of the cedar and will set it. I will crop off from the topmost of its young twigs a tender one, and I will plant it on a high and lofty mountain. In the mountain of the height of Israel will I plant it. So God now goes on to give a prophecy about how eventually a branch that begins as a twig from the tree of Israel is going to be taken by him and planted in the mountain of the height of Israel, and it will bring forth boughs and bear fruit, and under it will dwell all the birds, in the shade of its branches will they dwell, and all the trees of the field will know that I, Yahweh, have brought down the high tree, and have exalted the low tree, have dried up the green tree, and have made the dry tree to flourish. Well, Jesus alludes to those words when he's carrying the cross, and he basically says, I'm the dry tree, who is going to be made to flourish. I'm dying now, but I shall be resurrected and flourish. So this is talking about how in the end there would be a branch from the royal family of Israel whom God would set up, and he would have an eternal kingdom, like a tree with branches that gave shade, and the birds would come and live in its branches. The nations would come into that kingdom. So, as you often see in the prophets, there's a condemnation of God's people, but then it's right next to another prophecy about the restoration and God's final hope for them. So again and again you see that God doesn't like condemning people. He wants to save people and has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. And always, even when he has to judge people, he's looking for how he could save them.